Are you hungry? We sure hope so, because it's time for your weekly slice of Tres Leches.
Welcome back. It's time for episode 2 of our series, Be Good to You. Now this week, let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. That's right, we're talking about sex. And when it comes to knowing about bottoming, Juan Torres Falcon tops them all. Oh, sorry. Alex Hall tops them all. Typo. Alex is the creator and face behind the Bottoms Digest, a pioneering platform dedicated to enhancing the bottoming experience through diet and education, and he emphasizes a healthier, more enjoyable sex lifestyle without the need to starve oneself. So, aka, he's really good at making recipes that are like bottom friendly.
Because a girl's gotta eat.
Alex combines culinary expertise with a passion for promoting positive and informed sexual health for everyone interested in bottoming. And you may learn something, like how taking a fiber supplement too close to your medication could interfere with its absorption. Okay, it's time for the show. I'm versed, by the way, if it comes to that. Exactly. Oh my God, you guys. Hi, hello, Tres Leches.
Hello. Okay, well, hello. Okay, doing? We're going. We're back. Hello, yes. Everybody. Hi, Johnny. Hi, Ian.
Hello. Hi. Hello, mis amores. How are you guys doing?
Very well. Exceedingly well, as I like to say.
Speaking of exceedingly well, sorry, hold on. Johnny, how are you?
I'm good. I'm not as good as Juan's teeth are right now, bitch. Those things are glowing.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Thank you. And, you know, wait. I was really... What?
I don't know. Is there something behind the teeth? Literally.
No, there's nothing behind the teeth. I'm feeling just very happy because of our guest today. So I'm in a good mood. Ooh, so my like, I have my whole face. I'm smiling through my
your
entire
whole
face. Through my whole face.
Yeah, exactly. Whole face. Okay. Well, speaking of holes and things, we today are deep diving into the world of bottoming. Yes. That doesn't also mean if you don't bottom, this isn't going to be of interest to you, because I actually think this will help you, help them, help everyone. Yeah. And with our fabulous guest today, we're going to be really discussing all things bottoming, including food.
Mm. Yes.
Specifically food, because this person is the creator and face behind the Bottoms Digest, which is an ultimate guide to enhancing your bottoming experience without the unnecessary drama of a bottom diet. Essentially. And he hails from Houston, but more on that later because he's from a specific place that I actually know of. And I think he's going to be gagged as to why I know it.
Oh,
but he's
goodness,
now making waves in
Chicago.
What?
I can't wait to hear that.
I know. Me be like, it's so juicy. And you're like, that was dry. But he's now making waves in Chicago. And he's not just a culinary wizard, but also a fierce advocate for sexual health and pleasure within the LGBTQ+ community. Join us as we uncover truths, debunk some myths, and sprinkle some sass on this conversation with the one, the only, Alex Hall.
Hi, Alex.
Tres Leches is dairy-free today.
It is. It's going to have to be. It's going to have to be. We've been heavy on the cream lately, too, so we need it.
Oh, my God. Two cortados a day over here.
Yes. Alex, I've said this to you 44 times already, but I'm a little starstruck. You are very much a Wendy Williams friend in my head. You know, we are friends, even though we've never met or spoken to each other before today, except over a few emails, and we're so excited to have you here, truly.
Ah, thank you so much. That's so sweet. Seriously, like, your email yesterday made me, like, I was like, oh my God, no one's this nice. Everyone's just like, it's like, I have a hard stop in 30, and yours was just so sweet. It was just, so thank you so much.
I'm so happy to hear that, because Juan is, in addition to our co-host, he's our admin girl, he's our executive assistant, he's our secretary, he's our executive producer, our segment producer, and he's our CEO. So I'm really happy to know that, you know, but no one's telling us how he's doing, so it's good to get this feedback.
I know, it's good to have. So, you know, and Alex, you know, we've been doing this series. You will be the second guest in our series. It's the Be Good to You series. We wanted to take this kind of chunk. We're almost in the middle of the year to check back in with wellness, but like with a capital W. You know, really look at what self-care is with a kind of 2024 lens and look at all the things that can enhance our lives and that make us better and treat ourselves better. And, you know, obviously sex is a big, big portion of that. And sexual health, it's obviously not only the nitty gritty, of course, right? Which is like your expertise, right? Which you have with your account at Bottoms Digest, your videos have taught people how it is to bottom better, more healthily, and to treat themselves better, you know, in the process. But, you know, the other kind of thing with sexual health is the mental health portion of it. And so we're just excited to talk through all of this with you because you are such a light on the dark, cold internet these days. You really are.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. Yeah, I see a lot of the outside. Trust me.
To those who don't know you, you know, and may have seen your account, what was the inception of At Bottoms Digest like for you?
I love that you asked this question because I get asked this question by journalists all the time and they told me to keep it in like 2-3 sentences. And it's like, okay, it's really difficult to do that because like bottoming, it's nuanced. There's a lot of nuance to these things. There's a lot of angles and the Bottoms Digest is actually kind of an intersection of my entire past. So I actually wanted to be a fashion designer until I was 20. And then I had to drop out of fashion school because of money. So I moved back to Houston and I bartended at gay clubs in Houston for many years while working for a fashion designer in Houston. Then Trump got elected. So I stopped doing fashion and started doing reproductive rights for 5 years. And I started doing graphic design and website design and social media content creation and all that for the reproductive rights movement. And I was cooking dinner one day in my New York City apartment because I did repro when I lived in New York. And I was just like having a really bad day. I was like, I can't imagine doing this forever. I feel like it was helping people for sure. My mom had me when she was 18. That's like the reason I wanted to get into it. But it wasn't like helping my immediate community for me. And I was just cooking dinner and I was just thinking like, oh, how funny it is. Like no one cooks dinner in New York. I cook almost all my meals every day still. And it just like was like a light bulb moment of like all these things. It just like kind of rushed up to me. God knows what other things happened that I might be forgetting. Maybe my husband grabbed my ass. Maybe we like had sex that day. Like who knows?
I know that's right. Yeah. Let me know. Just keep on going. Uh-huh.
I do cook in my underwear most of the time on purpose.
Listen, you got to keep that mystery alive.
Oh, you better fucking show me how much you love me or get out of my house. Like, I guess our house, whatever. But so that's
yeah,
kind of like.
Yeah, whatever.
It's yours. Own your house. It's fine. If he was so, here.
Really? I shelved it though, because when I was living in New York, my apartment was way too small. And I knew I wanted it to be a cooking show because that was like what I always wanted to do. Cooking was always something I've loved since I was a kid. And I never really fully understood that starving before bottoming joke for the longest time. And I'm sure we'll get into that. But when I moved back to Texas during COVID, I had a little bit of a bigger kitchen. So when you watch my original videos from the very beginning, that's in my Austin kitchen. I used to have hella breakdowns in that kitchen because like I would just like turn and the ring light would knock everything over and break all the plates. And like, but over the
years. Creator problems 101. Wow.
Right. So we really started as a cooking channel and then I started sharing more and more sex tips and those started to really blow up. So now it's really like 60% sex tips, 40% food. And also food is in itself so nuanced. I've learned so much over the last 3 years from gut health and all that we will absolutely talk about. But yeah, that's really the inception of it. It was just like an intersection of my past careers and how many careers I've changed. And a cherry on top of being jaded by the education system and having to be ousted because I couldn't afford it anymore. So I'm so passionate about making education accessible and free as much as possible.
Wow.
I have to say that your experience with having to stop schooling because of being able to afford it and now trying to pass on all this information it's really, really special. I mean, because I've learned so much from you, and just going back to your early days of cooking, can you remember what your first recipe that you shared was?
Oh my God, yes. No one ever asked me this, and I love it. My very first episode was my dairy-free Alfredo, and that's because that's the first recipe I learned how to cook from my mom. I learned how to make her Alfredo, which is not dairy-free at all.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And, which isn't, like, the most Italian either. Everyone knows that. It's, like, a bunch of, like, fighting on the internet right now. But I'm from Texas. I'm not from Italy.
Correct.
Alfredo is very real in Texas. And
very real. A part of the diet.
Right. When I was 20, though, or 21 or so, I stopped eating dairy because I'm super lactose intolerant, and it really affects my skin. I have a pretty large nose, and my nose will get really red. So there's, like, a lot of reasons I stopped eating dairy.
Yeah, I was going to ask if it was for whatever reason, like, why that kind of was how that happened for you. Why all of us? Why was it dairy-free and not just, like, here's easier ways to eat? So I was curious.
Yeah, when I went dairy-free, I immediately noticed how it affected my sex life. So I kept that going forward for the rest of my life.
Tell us more. Tell us more.
Please.
Yes.
Well, dairy creates a mudslide in your colon. So even if you're not lactose intolerant, it has 0 grams of fiber. So you have to kind of work overtime to balance out the lack of fiber in that. It's the same with meat. Like meat, usually you're eating like side dishes with it, but like, for instance, Alfredo, you're eating white pasta, which has almost no fiber in it, with a cream sauce, which has no fiber in it. So you need to take a fiber supplement with something like that to balance out the fact that it has zero. So take that with like all kinds of stuff, a glass of milk, cream sauces, like it all has zero. So as long as you're balancing it out, but a lot of people are really bad at balancing out meals in general.
So the importance of fiber is something I've heard my entire life. I remember my grandmother like taking Metamucil and, you know, just kind of taking it. And it was like a thing, you know, if she didn't have it, she was in a bad mood. So I've always, you know, I just remember that from being a little kid.
Yeah.
And then you grow up and you become your big own bottom moving to the world. And I struggled for so many years.
Yeah.
I struggled for so many years because I simply wasn't consuming enough fiber.
Right.
And there is this kind of myth, right? I want to say it's a myth, but there's this little bit of misconception or that perhaps you should be getting all of your fiber from your diet.
Yeah.
No supplements, that you should be getting it only from that which you prepare in the kitchen for you to eat and consume. But obviously, that's not realistic. Can you talk to a little bit about that? Like, and should we be trying to get them as much as possible from natural foods? Are supplements hurting us?
Right. So you should try, but that's kind of a loaded like way to say that, because not everyone can afford it. Some people live in a food desert and can't even get produce.
Oops, like, yes.
Hell, I just flew out of LaGuardia 2 days ago, and I was in a food desert just around LaGuardia.
Yeah.
That's in the middle of New York City. So like, you know, you want to say like try, but every day is so different too. Like you're not always eating the same things every day. So I always say a supplement is literally meant to supplement the gap in your diet. So,
right.
You shouldn't rely on them fully. And I know too many people that rely on them fully or take them incorrectly or overdo it. But that's like what our channel is about, is like teaching people all these things that, you know, everyone's just been like fiber. And it's like, okay, but did you know that if you take too much in the beginning, you're going to get constipated? Did you know that if you take it with your prep, you could potentially block your prep? Like there's a lot there's a lot of things that people don't talk about. So it's really good to try to get as much fiber in your diet, like oatmeal and grains and beans and all that stuff. But you should be using fiber to get you over the threshold. And most people need the supplement anyways. Like even for me today, I've had oatmeal and I had a BLT. Like, and that's it. And for dinner, I'm making my green enchiladas for dinner. They're very high fiber, but I might have to take
a supplement,
a fiber supplement, because I don't think I've had enough today in general.
Wow, that I like that you're so. I mean, and for obvious reason with Bottoms Digest, but like, let's say I am curious, like if someone wasn't interested in, like if it had nothing to do with bottoming, would you still, and if let's say like you didn't care so much, which is kind of hard because how would we know, but would you still suggest trying to be over the threshold with fiber just for your overall health?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and by over the threshold, I honestly mean just meeting your daily value. So like 90% of people don't get enough fiber in their diet. Wow. So Tim Spector, who is like my God, he's an epidemiologist. He's like an old British man.
We love an old British man.
Yeah, straight as can be. He does not even
better.
How much I worship him. But like this like total fagot in Chicago like worships him. I'm like, I like comment on everything he posts. I'm like, please talk to me. But he like knows everything there is about the gut. He has an organization called Zoe, Z-O-E. They did the world's biggest study on gut health. It's incredible. And he has all these stats. Like, I'm not over here being this homosexual, being like, 90%. Like, no. Like, this is coming from a real scientist. 90% of people don't get enough fiber. And there is, everyone's like so protein, like, oh, I need enough protein, blah, blah, blah. There is zero research and zero studies that we are protein deficient. There are countless studies that we are fiber deficient.
Ooh.
So I always tell people on my channel, like, even if you don't bottom, you should be trying to get enough fiber because that helps with your heart, your colon, bowel movements, getting rid of toxins, because that's the only thing that actually gets rid of toxins is pooping and peeing. So yes, there are tons and tons and tons of benefits. Like everyone should be getting enough fiber, not just bottoms.
I find that when I am feel like I'm meeting my daily fiber minimum. When I meet it consistently, I'm a better person.
Yeah.
I move through the world. Yes. Yes. Correct. I move through the world in a much better mood. Yeah. And you know, it's especially like when you travel, for example.
Mm-hmm.
If I know that I am traveling and I have it with me, I have my I choose Metamucil. It's what I like. I like the sugar-free Metamucil. It works for me. I know some people, you know, Psyllium Haas, they like it just you can get it, you know, at different places. They has Pure for Men. There's so many different brands and that you can get it, right? You can just buy Psyllium Haas, a generic at Costco.
Right.
But you're Latina,
like Metamucil.
You're
correct. Exactly. As a first generation American Latin Cuban grandmother, Cuban. I need to stick
bottom.
To some traditions. And that's true. That is true.
You are the first bottom of your family.
I'm the first one of this household, but certainly not of this family.
Yeah, I don't know.
I have receipts.
I have receipts.
I don't have photos, but there are receipts. photos of the receipts. No, but so to me, Metamucil is so important when I'm traveling, for example. I have my little travel packets. And if I do that, I'm in such a better place because all of a sudden you can acclimate. It literally helps you get used to different time zones.
Yeah. Wow.
It helps with fight jet lag and everything else. I mean, it's just a really important thing. Now, what it's done for my sexual life, forget about it.
Yeah. It's the best.
Yes. So can I tell you something and I have been having sex for a long time, okay? I've been having sex for a long time, Alex, okay? I'm 27 plus. Some people say that I'm 37.
What does that mean?
Yeah, 27 plus is what we just, it's our catch-all. Exactly. We're tired of sharing the exact details anymore about the numbers. But no, but truly. Okay, so for many years, I thought that being a bottom, right? And we can get to the shame around it and the role, the kind of the stuff that gets put in your backpack to carry around when you say that you are a bottom, right? We'll get to that. But for many years, I lived under a belief system that because I say I am, and it's because what I enjoy, that I just have to be naturally good at it.
Yeah.
And that it's just kind of supposed to happen, that like I'm supposed to enjoy it, it's supposed to work, And when it didn't work, when you run into problems, inevitably, right? Because there's so many things that can pop up, literally. There are so many things that I saw it as a failure of, and I would retreat inward. With my ex, we were together for 8 years. Mm. And, you know, through 8 years, you have a lot of experiences, peaks, valleys, dry spells, the whole thing, right? You know, life comes at you fast many times over an 8 year period. I struggled for the first time in my life in my later 20s with a fissure, with a fissure for the first time in my life. And instead of reaching out, figuring out what was wrong, doing the things that I do now, you know, which is fiber, water, pre-care, aftercare, all the things that you talk about. Before doing those things, before, you know, when those problems first started coming up, I just retreated, and it created a big schism in my home, in my romantic life, because I wasn't taking care of myself, and I wore it as like I am bad at doing this, and really I just needed to reframe shame and the learned right and wrong and what this should be. And bottoming became difficult for the first time in my life. When I was in my younger 20s, it was very natural. I didn't have to worry about too much about it. But I had to grow up and change the way I did things. And where really things start to click in with a lot of what you teach is making the douching experience a concise, simple thing.
Yeah.
You are not cleaning out a hoarder's home.
No. Jesus Christ, no.
You are not.
No.
And I was doing so much damage.
Yeah.
You know, with overdouching. And, you know, can you talk a little bit about your overall vision for what douching in 2024, the year of our Lord, should be?
So I'm famous for going to my friends' houses and throwing away their giant douches and not telling them about it. And then I'll send them a coupon code for mine, which my douche.
Look how cute and tidy and perfect it is.
This is my douche. So there's nothing I reinvented the wheel there. I just literally manufactured a douche that's a lot smaller. Because I work with a lot of GI doctors on the bottom side, Jess. They're all like, if I don't know a medical question, I hit up my GI doctor.
Sure.
Which is Dr. Carlton, usually. Icon, if you don't know who that is.
Fantastic. We love him.
Yeah, Dr. Carlton's a very good friend of mine, and like another person that gives away an iconic amount of information for free. But for the longest time, all these like gay GI doctors and stuff were just like, douche less. And I was like, okay, well, there is no less. Like, there's still only like one bulb out there. But in 2024, it's like, even if you have that big bulb, insert less of the tip, use less of the water. Yeah. And a lot of times those douches aren't even anal douches, they're vaginal douches.
And said that.
Because the people that own sex shops and stuff, they also fell
don't
under the
know
shitty sex bed that we all got. So they're just going on Alibaba and buying the first thing that they find.
And microplastics,
like, plastics,
the chemicals,
yeah,
the chemicals emails
that are the size of your torso. And like when it comes to douching, less is more. And I have his permission about this. There's a reason there's an entire YouTube video about it, but my husband is packing heat down there, and like I don't douche a lot, and
Lord help us.
God help us indeed. And I was like, less is more. And everyone's like, well, what if he's like over 8 inches? Well, I'm like,
but what if still, more is more?
You're still not going to go past a certain point. Like people, when they shoot water past a curve called the rectosigmoid junction in their curve, that's the sharp turn. You're dumping water into your sigmoid colon. And when you are just shooting out dirty water with no solids in it, that's usually a red flag that you've gone past the point of no return. The point of no return is that whole like, oh, douching took me 45 minutes, an hour and a half. That's because you're overdoing it. Wow. When you keep it less and you do, and you really dedicate to getting fiber into your daily life because that's good for you in general, that does the deep cleaning. I mean, no lie, even my fisting YouTube interview, I had to cut out some of his douching stuff because I was like, that is not healthy.
Wow.
So,
it's also a different thing. He's preparing for another activity.
Right. So I kept the stuff that was healthy for a different activity. And then there were things that I was like,
yeah, this is all too much.
Sorry, man.
So the video in question that Alex is talking about, because we talked about it before we recorded.
One of my favorite videos.
it's a great video. The title is
Required Viewing.
It's Required Viewing. It's Essentials to Bottom for a Big Dick Pain-Free. Now, the humble brag is that the phone call is coming from inside the house.
It really is.
Alexandra Hall's Alexandra Hall's house. That's where it's coming from.
Sure,
so your man has it. And as I said before, Lord, I have seen the blessings you have poured onto my sisters. Lord, bless me with somebody in the house.
I have learned.
I want it in the house.
I mean, my husband and I have been together for 8 years, and I met him when I was 23, and I was just like, oh my God. Like, when we first met, I was like, Lord help me. Like, I'm not ready for this. But over the years, because I've also been having sex for a super long time, over the years, I've learned so many tricks that I was like, people just don't talk about this. Like,
I just want to, where did you learn your tricks? Is it through your own experience or like?
Through my own experience, and then ever since I started the Bottoms Digest, a combination of my experience, making my husband experiment with me for the research, which is hilarious.
We're having fun at work.
I'm like, no, you're gonna work for this 50%, bitch.
Sometimes 51%. I'll give you the extra percent, sir.
Yeah. Of this company, you're gonna have to.
Lord.
I remember when I was like 20, I was taking a big dick from this guy, and I was still in college. And
I'm sweating.
I found this like iconic tip where when I would start on top and sit down, and like I'd pull right off right away, put more lube, and sit right back down, and it was immediately
yes.
And
that always happens. Like,
we're going to just do all kinds of, we're going to like work on ways to loosen up the sphincter and other stuff first to baby step to that process. Cause that was 20 year old Alex. We're getting older. Things don't bounce back like
She's
that
a vet now. Oh
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So you have to honor that in a way and be like, okay, well, how do we like get there now without knowing that I'm not 20 anymore? So,
Yeah, it's like a singer with their voice. They're not really going to be able to do what they were doing in their 20s. They're going to have to adjust.
I wanted to ask because, you know, especially for queer people, there's so little that we know and learn about sexual health and how to have sex and what's, you know, I wanted to know what is the number one question you would say that you get from people about sexual health, like in your DMs?
I would say the number one is douching. It's just like, should I be douching? Like, am I douching with too much water? Am I douching with too much? So like, I know that's not one singular question, but it's typically to this day about douching. And do I need to at all? Do I have to? Yeah. How much?
Not like taking your fiber.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I usually try to still, even though I have my own product now, I still push fiber first to people. But I did this interview the other day with a journalist, and they were talking to me and they asked me, do you feel like queer people are getting more comfortable talking about this? And I was like, that's kind of my main goal of my channel, is to make like bring humor into it to remind you like, easy to talk about, because sex ed is not any closer to covering, even if it was 10 times better, I say this all the time, even if it was 10 times better, it would not cover queer sex ed. So So it's vital that we are very good at talking about this to each other, because we are each other's education and will continue to be for God knows how long right now. So,
right.
That's, you're just so great. I just love that. I love that. Like, and to piggyback on what Juan said earlier about like, you left school because you know, it was too expensive, but then in that you're like, but I'm going to educate, like, that it's a movie waiting to happen. First of all, I can't wait to see who plays you, but like, it's just really beautiful. You know what I mean? Like, to kind of take these lemons and make some motherfucking lemonade for everyone else. You're enjoying it too because of your husband and stuff, but you're having fun at work, like I said, but it really is very special.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I mean, like, it's all service based also. Like, that's, something like
bottoming can be service-based. Sure.
Yes.
Something that you said on your channel, which I thought was really nice, was the idea that we are not just one thing and that you should put a verb in front of, like, you know, because everyone's like, I'm a bottom. You're just a bottom, as if it like encompasses all that you are as a human being. It's like, I like to bottom. I like to top. I like to do both. And I really love that was such a different way of like channeling the conversation into something that was, you know, outside of, you know, self-worth and like who, like all encompassing. So could you speak a little bit more about that?
Yeah, totally. Thank you for noticing that, because I say that, I've been saying that since day one on the Bottom Side, Jess. On my very first video, I said anyone can bottom, not just gay men. Fun fact, more than half my audience are women now. I get a lot of questions about periods, reproductive health, like stuff like that now as well. But it's because, so the Bottom Side, just the name is a double entendre. But when we say the bottom, we are actually referring to your butt, like anyone's butt. And we're not using bottom as a noun in that regard. Like, oh, you're a bottom. I'm like, yes, everyone can identify however they want. I do identify as a power bottom, but you shouldn't go around calling other people bottoms and talk like, oh, that guy flaked. He's such a top. And it's like, okay, well, you're small minded. so like, you're putting people in a box. So it's like, I try very, very intentionally on my channel to say people that bottom, people that top, trying to make it verb first.
Have you had any followers let you know, like, if they've kind of, like, the impact that's had on their sexual experience? Has anyone kind of been like, hey, like, I started doing that and I noticed this? I'm just curious if, like, if you have that kind of, dialogue with them.
From advice from our page or like,
yeah, like, well, just like your thought, like from you, I remember because I saw that post and I loved the, like, if you use it as a verb more, like, it's just better than plugging yourself into being pigeonholed into this thing that you are not always, right? And you can change or whatever. And I was curious if any of the followers have kind of shared a story with you being like, hey, like, I've started to do that and it's helped at all or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, some people were saying like, oh, finally someone is saying this. Like, I think it's a very new thing for people. So like, that's kind of like the whole, I love doing that on my channel is like, hey, let's change your thinking for the first fucking time ever. So like, because it's really tired. Not too much, but like, of course, when I post something like that, I usually get more people that are like, oh, you're being such a bottom right now. So like, you know,
I was going to say that anytime I'm like, I'm verse, I like, why can't we enjoy all things? People are like, wow, only a bottom would say that. And I mean, I'm sure you understand this obviously, but like, I feel like so much of the shame that comes from bottoming is hatred of women. A hatred is misogynistic. Yeah. It is, you know, and it's just like, awkward. Yeah, no, exactly. And I've seen you talk about it. It's just like, okay, just say you hate women. Like, stop, you know, it, because to receive dick is basically to say that you're the woman. When to me, like, some of the most, you know, some of the strongest people, the dick, like, you know, it brings people together when we talk about, like, what really is at the root of all of this shame and all of this crap that, you know, for lack of a better word.
Another poisonous thing to piggyback on what you're saying, Johnny, is that I do think it is perhaps a hatred of the feminine, but I also think that there is a we allow among in I'll speak for this is especially to the gay men. There is too often this dialogue. Ugh. There's just not enough tops in this town. It's a town full of bottoms. So God. There's this like scarcity attached. All of a sudden, there is, you know, the price has gone up on being a top. And if you are right. a top, then that's better. And if you're a bottom, there's more of you. There's a surplus, which they can choose whatever they want. So all of a sudden, there's like this power differential of like the thing, the precious metal. That is in demand. And I think that that is a really poisonous thing that permeates when you're at a party and you hear someone say all bottoms, or when you hear you're in a city and you're like, this city has no tops.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's about hating women, but it's also about loving the idea of being more masculine and not falling into some of the stereotypes or the tropes that you were made fun of and called fagoon for since you were 4 years old.
Yeah.
So it's a lot. It is a lot, but I think that obviously talking about it, but a lot of the work you do just by saying like, hey, this is what's happening, folks. This is it. Even just that is really helpful. And making it kind of scientific.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just making it about the math. What do you have to do to make this successful? It feels good. Do this. Take this. Get in this position. Warm up before. Use enough lubricant. Do whatever you have to do.
Oh, yeah. I'm all about the logistics.
Yes. Exactly. You know, and
B to Z.
What advice? Okay. What advice would you give to someone who is struggling with like shame about being a bottom, or they want to do it more, but they feel like it's taboo to say so? Cause I feel like that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
That they're just kind of, they're afraid of owning that outright. I do, but a lot of people do not.
Right. Shame is like wild. It's so deep. So like, whatever answer I give probably won't even graze the surface of like the other work you need to do. Like maybe you hate your parents.
Sure, that'll do it.
Like
therapy.
Maybe you hate your boyfriend or like, and you won't break up with them. Like that alone can fuel so much. But with like identity and owning that, and first off, like you need to ask yourself if that's even something you care about people knowing about. Like maybe. Like my husband, he's the most private person on the planet. We were talking about that before we even started the call. Like, you just won't see him. He is the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain. If you're feeling shame about that, like if you're feeling shame about things, like if you're not even wanting to be public about it, that's a whole different conversation. But if you're like in a group of people and you're like, I'm a bottom, and your friends start to shame you about that, you need to start asking you about, like, are these the right people?
I'm going to correct you. If you were in a group, what you would say is, I bottom. I'm not a bottom. Again, look at me. Teacher's pet. Teacher's pet. You are getting a glimpse. Like that. So, sorry, I was just being such a
cunt. I love that. This is why teachers aren't making money. That's right.
I'll pay them.
So... yeah, like, I think, like, it's all about, first off, you can't, like, control other people, and I think that that is the biggest thing that a lot of people aren't putting themselves, they're not putting themselves in front of the mirror right now being like, are the people I hang around with shitty? Is my partner shitty? Am I still talking to family members that are shitty? Because a lot of that, a lot of the shame is fueled by that. And even, like, some people that see stuff online and they're like, oh, that's true. And it's like, well, you need to find these triggers. It's up to you. Like, that's something my channel really does. It's like, I can only take you to water, bitch. Like,
yeah.
Like, I've already done so much. Like, I can't forcefully make you drink it. So it's the same with shame. You really have to start to figure out, is it something you're seeing online? Is it something your friends are saying? Is it right. the club you're going to? Is it the white gay male crowd you're hanging out with? Like, that all look the same. So there's like, you have to really start to dig and do the work yourself, unfortunately.
Yeah. And
kind of the long answer.
Yeah.
If you had, if you had like just a thing that you would say, because a lot of times you're at parties and you're and like, oh, I had sex with him. He shat on my dick. And there's like this kind of thing. It's like, I think that just permeates into the society of like, oh, if I do have a mistake or something happens, they're going to talk about it with their friends. They're going to tell people. And that's why people are so like tight about like not sharing or like getting things right or overdouching. And, you know, it's because the fear of being ridiculed by others. What would you say if you heard, if you were at a party and someone was like, oh yeah, he shat on my dick. What would you say to someone that you heard doing that?
Oh my God. The way that I've like done this though. I always start with shit happens. Shit happens. Like, I know that's like almost cliche at this point, especially after being involved inside just for 3 years, but I immediately am like, do you not poop? Have you never had accidents in the bedroom? And accidents are a broad spectrum. Have you ever farted in someone's face while they were eating your ass? I haven't, but I'm just curious. Like, I'll start asking questions like that. And I get like really serious with people when they say things like that, to be like, this is what you're making that person feel like behind their back. But that's me particularly, because I have a sex ed platform and I'm comfortable. But this like whole like shaming of accidents, the thing that I talk about with accidents a lot is you can prep all day, but your body is going to choose what happens most of the time. So accidents don't even happen that often. That's the craziest part, is I've interviewed so many people about this and they're so fearful about accidents and overdosing and all that. And I'll be like, well, I've interviewed tops and I'll be like, hey, what do you do when a bottom has an accident? And they're like, well, it's happened so little. And I'm like,
yeah,
that's kind of the point, is like, we're overthinking it and like really fueling some of these anxieties for something that's natural.
Well, cause it go, sorry. I have a thought about this,
but the thing about people talking shit also is, again, that goes back to, we unfortunately cannot control what other people are going to do, and hope don't, I know that's like, again, not a grand answer for people, but karma will cancel that bitch one day, or like catch up or something. But because that accident happened, unfortunately, there's nothing you can do about that person being shitty.
Yeah, I mean, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. That your body did something that it does every day. Like, and you can't carry that burden that someone else is saying that at a party.
You know, if someone is that offended, that disgusted, and is cruel to you in that moment, that is a moment to never invite that person into your bedroom or go to their bedroom ever again.
They have a really long road ahead. Those are the same people that are like, I can't believe I'm single still. And I'm like, well, you suck. Like, I found out why you're single.
You've told me everything I needed to know.
I have a question, just actually. That. So, Alex, for you being in such a long-term relationship, I have wondered this a lot in about like my gay friends. And would you, for every time you do, you douche every single time you think you're going to have, like, if you know you're going to have sex, are you like, hold on, let me douche, or like, aren't you having? I'm assuming, I have no idea, but like some unexpected, like, whoa, wasn't prepped for that sex, or is that happening for you?
I don't douche every time at all. Okay. My fiber game is like next level, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But,
okay.
I take psyllium husk in the morning and the evening. So my bowel movements are like at the same time almost every day. And I think that if you know that, and especially if you're with a long-term partner, they can handle a little. Like,
yeah, that's
a little. The main thing that I talk about with douching is like, if your bowel regularity is off and you don't know all that kind of stuff, you don't want to have sex because it's going to hurt. The first time I had sex without really knowing that there was poop in my rectum when I was like 18, that was one of the most painful sexual experiences I've had in my life. And it's like this whole like, oh, there's a mess. I'm like, okay, well, it sucks for me in a different way. It hurts.
In addition, yeah.
Yeah, it's literally a vacuum. You're like pushing air into a vacuum and it hurts. So if I know that I've had a bowel movement and it was a really good bowel movement, that is very important, and I'm feeling good and hydrated and nothing's too off, like I didn't eat ice cream, which I don't ever eat all of a sudden, That's what I mean by off. Like, I didn't do something out of the norm. Mm. Then I'm like, oh yeah, let's go for this. But sometimes there's like, my husband just started taking medication that he lasts a little longer. So I'm like, okay, let's see what today's like. So it really is. That's the thing that I try to tell people all the time is nuance. Every day is different. Your diet's different every day. Your stress level's different every day. Your hydration's different every day. Yeah. You need to be in tune with the nuances of life.
Yes, that's the new context of that day.
Yeah,
I'm curious, seriously, with some of this subject matter and, you know, this very specific messaging, which, like, thank God you're doing. What's been the response? Like, what's the response from, obviously the followers love it, and you're gaining such like traction, and I'm wondering, is there a negative side to that? Have you experienced anything that's felt, yeah, just negative in general?
So a lot of people, funny enough, assume I get negativity from like right wingers and stuff like that. And it's actually usually from older white gay men.
Interesting.
I'm
not surprised, but
I'm not shocked by it.
By all means, tell me more.
So yeah, I love spilling the tea because they need to be canceled yesterday. Not all of them. I'm just joking. But
but the ones you're about to talk about, those.
Right, exactly. So they unfortunately fell under the worst of sex ed, really, over time. And they really got the most fueled by toxic masculinity. And, you know, I mean, I was basically raised by lesbian women, and I learned the history of gay culture taking over lesbian bars and cities all over the country. And that kind of energy has trickled everywhere into every facet of our community, it feels like. So when I say it's things like top and bottom should be used as a verb first, it's usually the old gay white men that come in swinging hard, or, you know, I had a pretty popular OnlyFans guy that's in his like 40s messaged me once being like, here's an idea, eat fuck first then eat next. And I was just like, here's an idea, there's 8 billion people on this planet and we all do things differently. Like, that was the response back.
But also, so, like, I am getting fucked a lot. I'm doing quite well with my boy, like, do you know what I mean? Yeah, you're
right.
This is about more better sex, not less, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of them are still trying to put stuff in a box because that's how it's been for them for so long that they absolutely ignore nuance. They're like, no, it's the same every time. And it's like, no, that's how it is in porn. The world is not porn. I like porn, but I watch porn with rose-colored lenses. Like, you have to know that about that. And I feel like, because a lot of them got so much of this education in sex ed from porn, it's supposed to be like that every time. You're supposed to be fit, ripped, clean. Like, there's almost like a crossfade edit of the foreplay into the sex. Like,
yeah.
Position changes. Like, all, it's just very like in that lane of perfection. So when I come out with all this stuff, they see me, not only is there an age difference, so they think that I'm trying to preach when I'm trying to be actually just like a host of my channel. I'm like not even trying to be an influencer or anything.
Yeah.
They see the age right away. They see just this whole system that combats what they've been working towards. And I'm like, well, it's true. Anyone can bottom, not just gay men. And they're like, no, it's for us. And I'm like,
interesting. Interesting.
You literally can't gatekeep an asshole. So,
nope.
You can. I'd like to see you try it. And if you can, let me know.
That, you know, I see, I'm encouraged by how younger people today, Gen Z, and we've talked about this on the podcast before. There is, although there are many people who are having maybe less sex than their older compatriots, right? Gen Z is, you know, the statistics point to that Gen Z is having less sex overall than their millennial counterparts and older. But
I'm so there sorry. Is, so sorry, Gen Zers.
Yeah, right. Well, no, they're very happy about it. This is they're choosing to. But
whether they're having it or whether they're not, there is an empowerment there. There is an openness to what I love when Dan Savage says, if you open up the definition of what sex is, you will have more sex.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's more to it. And I think that this tug of war between like the old guard and the new guard is really about embracing more, inviting more, making more people feel comfortable, which is a lot of what, you know, I think from the very beginning, it's been your work.
You know, it's really interesting. This is like a walking on a fine line, but that's okay because it's out of respect and love. Dan Savage was one of those people for me. He tweeted at me when I did an article with Queerity for Thanksgiving, and it was just like he couldn't wrap his mind around what I was doing.
Yes.
And he got a little like mean with me, I'm not gonna lie. We ended up meeting in the middle on it, which was great because he had me on
and
his show.
So, and because I don't know the context, and like this is like what exactly was he responding to?
So he wasn't, he did the whole like fuck first and then eat that joke. And I'm like, oh, so
sure to never use that.
I mean, it's actually very useful in general. I actually, not to interrupt you, but that advice is in the concept of this is actually kind of useful. Because if we're going out for Valentine's Day, if you have sex before dinner, just because like you want to have it just for fun, and then you have your dinner, and then you don't have to worry about it the rest of the night. Oh, and then if you want more, you have it later, so you can drink and relax and don't have to worry about performing. Yeah. That's like the way you may want to use that. Now, the way you don't want to use it is to fuck first because you don't want food to affect the actual process.
This is actually like the perfect example of what I was trying to say with the older generation was when he tweeted at me again. It's out of love, Dan Savage. You know I love you. Now we were on the podcast together.
It was a great interview.
It was super fun, and like I got to explain it to him because he didn't look at our stuff first before the clapping. And during it, it was for a Thanksgiving article, and he was like, "Well, here's an idea: fuck first, and then." Or eat for whatever. I already forgot the logistics of their silly argument. And I was like, I clapped back being like, I was a bartender at gay clubs where my coworkers did not go home. They did Friendsgiving together, and some of them legitimately went to orgies that night. So like you need to be more open minded to outside of your own fucking life. Like there are literally 8 billion of us. Maybe you can't imagine what other people get into. Like, so why not just share it? Why not just share more tips and assume that it could help even 5 people?
That Thanksgiving article is interesting because if you look at some of the response, I remember that, and like on the comments on it, people were like, "It's just one holiday a year. Let me eat whatever I want," because you created
the point of the article, you created
gut friendly alternatives. I'm not gonna even say bottom friendly alternatives. Alternatives to some of the great recipes for Thanksgiving, and it's amazing how people can't like. What if these are just for being a healthier, better person?
Yeah,
it's amazing.
You know, and the internet forces us to kind of wrestle with things instead of just listening and take them in.
Yeah, because even at Thanksgiving, I'm still eating dairy free. Like I'm going to die if I, like I don't want to feel like. Because for me, babe, it's not just Thanksgiving Day. It's going to be 5 days of hell.
That's a lot of people. And I think that's a lot of people. And to your point, I think that this is a lot of people for whom sex has been difficult and life has been difficult because they have been eating things that really mess up their digestive system. Take sex out of the equation. So many people live with like these debilitating digestive issues, and often it's not doing the things that could really help. And you know, that's why I we talked about it earlier, but you're like overnight oats. Such a great example of something easy that you can do that's really delicious, gets your day started in the exactly right way. You could have it later on in the day, but it's like just a better alternative. You aren't telling people that this is the only thing you should have for breakfast, that you shouldn't enjoy bacon or this or that. It's just one thing to do. It's another tool for your kit, you know, for your toolbox,
making me crave like fiber right now. Like, I'm like, what's a way that I can have? Like, isn't an apple a way to have fiber?
Yes, Great.
Okay, oh, yeah, that's a great one.
Oh literally.
And so we do a little thing where we have spilled milk. We just got our fiber.
Spilled milk.
And that's probably the only way you want to consume milk. You want it on the floor. Well, there's another way. So we have listeners write in and ask us questions. And I kind of wanted to pass along one of them to you, if you'd be willing to do it with us. Yeah, would you be willing to? Okay, great. She's kind of a newlywed cis woman from the West Coast. She said, my new husband and I have not enjoyed anal sex together. Although,
ever? Or just
let me read it. My new partner and I have not enjoyed anal sex together. Although in my previous relationships, I loved it. He seems to be kind of into it, and I want him to feel more comfortable, at least with going down there. What are the steps we should take to make him feel better?
Love that. So by go down there, do you mean by eating it out?
Exactly. So,
sometimes this is a hard question for me to answer. I'm going to answer, and I have some solutions, but
I will do the duty.
Yeah, but sometimes I have to be like, okay, sometimes someone's not into it, and you can't change what someone's into. So that's sometimes the beauty of polyamory. So you get to try the things you're into that your partner's on it, but whatever. You're obviously a newlywed, so polyamory is probably not on the table for at least another year or two. So to get things going, you can always just do little things like I showered off. Give them like little encouragements that you like did a little work to get things ready. Mm-hmm. If she's into it, she could do things to him first so that she knows what she wants back in return. I have a great eating ass YouTube video that she can watch. It's one of my shortest because I'm so wildly passionate about that topic and how bad people do it. But like, that's always to me a really good thing is like, let me do it to you first so you can see what I want back.
I love it.
So those are like, but the showering off, because he's a straight guy, it might be like, hey, I showered off. Like, get your face down there, you fucker.
You still think that that's a thing? Do we still think that that's what's happening with
unfortunately, like, for some people. Absolutely. And that's why it's like, for someone like this,
not on the coast. Not if you're on the coast. You know what I'm saying?
No, babe. You need to hang out with more straight men.
But Juani, I have a quote of you from another episode being like, Ian has many best friends who are straight. I'm so happy.
And yet still, you need more of them. I want you to ask all of them, all those friends in your zoo, ask them how many of them eat ass.
In your zoo, Jesus.
Oh,
Christ.
Eat well. I meant okay.
Yeah. So for people that are like really baby stepping, sometimes it takes little things like that to really get them to like move forward. So that's why I wouldn't usually say something like showering off, but for someone that needs really warming, a lot of warming up, that's usually something that you can be like a little reassurance. But I usually am like quick, you know, like when she's giving him a blowjob next time, she can maybe move down a little more south.
And surprise him. Yeah, just getting down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, mine would be to use a toy. Him to use one on you, sweetheart. So, because that... Yeah, because it's like hands, distance versus like face in place. Yeah. Like start with the toy. And if you enjoy it, and if that's something you really want, then you're you're going to get your rocks off, you know, because then you'll have the toy and you'll have that stimulation. So you'll be getting more than you've been getting.
And if we're putting the toy in the woman's butt, don't even waste your money on a prostate stimulator because you don't have one. So make sure that you don't use prostate stimulators, butt plugs only, short dildos. I argue against dildos because if you're going to use a dildo for this instance, he should be warming up to just put his penis in you. Like, it's your husband. Toys are great as well. Just don't get a prostate stimulator. You could put that in him.
Mm-hmm. that would be...
I think
that might be the way that this fairy tale of theirs turns around, that it becomes about the discovery of what it is on
him on the
to
man.
To me, it's not a fairy tale until you're bottoming. So,
well, that's what I'm saying. You might be. You might be soon.
To me, they're living a nightmare right now. Until they're starting to bend over, I'm not.
No, this
fantasy.
I totally get.
Listen, I'm walking through a gym these days, and I literally cannot tell the people who are dressed, quote unquote, like in the gay uniform are actually straight, and then the gay people are dressed like straight people. Like, it's so wild to me. It's hot, but it's wild. And so that's why I'm like, oh, like, are they picking up? What other tips are they picking up? You know what I mean? As you said, half of your audience now is mostly women.
Yeah. It's a mixed bag because, again, like, anyone can bottom. It's not reserved to us.
Anyone can whistle. Anyone can bottom.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyone can bottom. Yeah. That's what they say. Easy.
Oh my God. You know, Sondheim, apparently, he loved it more than anybody. That's what
they're selling his items right now, you know, on auction, and I'm like, are they gonna sell the leather stuff, you know? We are gonna let you go, Alex. No, we've been keeping you a hostage way too long,
but I just want to say we'll share the link and everything, but to where to purchase your douche.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so you can find my stuff on bottomsdigest.com. Great website. I know the designer. It was me.
It's great, by the way. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful website. Love your work.
So it's like anything I can do for myself, I'm going to try to do it. But thebottomsdigest.com, YouTube at bottomsdigest. That is like where I'm really doing the work right now.
Yeah.
Instagram, of course, bottomsdigest. TikTok, if it stays around, geez, like I would really like it to be.
It's kind of spooky.
I know. You will not find me on Twitter. I can't handle the toxicity of it all. You can find my douche either on my website, thebottomsdigest.com. If you're not into Amazon, I tried to have options for people. So I have it on Amazon as well. But yeah, please go get one. It is very good for your body. And I also 100% of the profits just go into making more information to share with people. That's where it's going.
And I just wanted to kind of finish off, like, is there a grant, like, is there a sort of future epic dream with Bottoms Digest that you're trying to get to?
Yes. Solve the problem. I think that organizations are meant to make themselves not exist. So that's where I want to exist. It was like, I want us to be in a place where people
don't
feel comfortable talking about sexuality. They know how to douche. They know if they don't need to douche. They feel comfortable like with their body regularly, all that stuff. Like, we want to not exist. That's kind of the future. Reproductive rights organizations, have they solved the problem? Wouldn't it be existing? So like, I learned a lot in that movement about like, okay, we need to, I'm treating it the same way, is just solve the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you are very much
you
helping.
Are. We're so grateful to you. Thank you for everything you do. And
thank you so much.
We adore you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I adore y'all. This was iconic. Thank you.
Mwah.
But dairy-free. Mwah. Dairy-free.
But dairy-free. But dairy-free. I'm working on that.
The and say hi to your husband from us, okay? To tell him we're very happy. He's enjoy the
tell
work.
Him. Do say hello.
Juan Schwartz circuiting. He hasn't even seen the man.
Well, you know, I have seen the man.
Oh, you have? Oh, excuse me. I have not projecting.
No, I have seen the man. And once he added that tidbit, which that humble brag video...
Are you talking about the hubs?
Yeah, we're talking about yours.
Your husband. That's why. Yeah, he's awesome.
Oh my God, he's gorgeous. He looks
like a name, or do you not camera. Tell us? Do you not tell people the name? Maybe I haven't watched that video.
Oh, his name's Mike. He's like on our website.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Great. Yeah. Oh,
he just doesn't come on.
He looks like he could be a doctor on ER.
Oh my God.
You know, like, he's got like of hair you want to run your fingers through, like that of that era. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not a Grey's Anatomy, Dr. ER. We'd love it. Well, send Mike our love. And we'll see you soon.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye. Buenas.
Qué rico.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.